This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 8. En español, Romanos 8. Capítulo 8, versículo 1. I'm trying to get rid of my American accent. It's hard. I never knew I had an American accent when I spoke in Spanish until my eighth missions trip to Latin America. And this one girl named Nadia, she started imitating me. And I'm like, I do not sound like that. And she goes, oh, yes, you do. Yo no hablo así. And so... And it's and if a Spanish word has more than three syllables, I struggle. Because my mom used to say, que barbaridad. And that's really hard for me. Anybody else's mom would ever say, que barbaridad? Yeah? And John's not here to raise his hands. Que barbaridad. How do you say mercy? Misericordia. That's really hard for me to say. Yes, really hard for me to say. Anyway, Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And why did Jesus die? So we're still in this Easter mode here at Mosaic. Last week, we talked about doubting Thomas. And then the week before that, do you know your name? Do you know your father? So Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? That's awesome. And because you belong to him, the power of life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Again, we did not, Bryce and I did not match notes. And I said, hey, can you get some worship songs? I have to do with this. It's just beautiful how the Lord orchestrates it. So it says, because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. We talked about that in Romans. So God did what the law could not. He sent his own son in a body his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirements of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. This is the New Living Translation. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, capital S, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his suffering. So basically, if I had to repeat that, is that we are, if you were here a few weeks ago, we are Walter Whites. We're all guilty. We're rebels, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. And today I'd like to talk to you as straight as possible and as quick as possible. We have been, before Christ, you and I have been doing what we've always wanted to do is our own thing, and it became a habit. And so in a sense, and I share this all the time, our habitual rebellion, we started, it's like bricks, and we started creating our little brick home of our selfish desires and our desires that we wanted. And so, but what we didn't know is that we were making ourselves a self-made prison. We were prisoners of our own selfishness. Now, I know because every January 1st, everybody has a plan to get out of their self-made prison. But what we don't recognize is that the prison walls have been pretty fortified because of our habitual rebellion against God. It's the cement, the concrete that we use to build these walls. And while we're in these walls, we have this enemy who constantly continues to encourage us to build more walls, build it more fortified, and he's always accusing. And then every January 1, people are yelling, "Let me out! I want out! I want out of this prison!" I remember when I was a young man, I had a very foul mouth. I couldn't stop. I tried to stop. I remember saying to myself, "I'm going to stop." And it lasted for about 2 days until a car cut me off. And so it didn't last. I wanted to stop, but I couldn't. And so because of my rebellious nature and my design of my selfish little prison cell, I wasn't thinking that I was building a prison cell, but I was. And all of a sudden, it became almost like impenetrable. You can't get out. Now, some of you have been around long enough, you know that I was in jail once for speeding out of state, nothing serious. But I couldn't get out. I couldn't get out, and that's what it's like for too many people who are in their prison cell. They can't get out. They want to get out, and they're trying to do it in their own power, but they can't. And then something changed, and his name was Jesus. Amen? And so I think we have a picture of Jesus. Well, we should have a picture of a prisoner. I don't know if that's up there. And then we have the cross. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes onto the scene, and he stands in between you and the pending judgment. We just talked about that in our communion time. The enemy keeps saying out accusations. But instead of us receiving the lashes and all these blow after blow, Jesus steps in. And it's amazing what Jesus did. I mean, he was turned into pulp physically. He was turned into pulp on our behalf. But what is even more amazing is that we participated. Now, you may not like to hear that, but through your rebellion, we participated in the pummeling of Jesus. And then he dies, which is really hard to imagine that God would die, but God dies. But as we celebrated 2 weeks ago, he's no longer dead, amen? And then, so this prison cell has this thing called death penalty. There should be a little PowerPoint that says death penalty. And before Jesus, we had this on our door. We were condemned to die. And we were going to be separated from God, and we are guilty. That's the thing about Jesus. He's perfect in God. He's perfectly just. He's not like sometimes in our court system where they don't get all the details, or maybe the details aren't known, or maybe he's a corrupt judge. That's not the case with God. He knows all things. We can't fool him, and we can't, he's not like, oh, I didn't know that. He knows all things. And so all of us had on our little prison wall, our prison cell door, death penalty. But then what Jesus did, he gave us the opportunity to be forgiven, justified, and redeemed. Isn't that crazy? That, and awesome. When I say crazy, I mean that's awesome. That all of a sudden, because we say yes to our Lord, we believe that he physically existed. We believe that he physically lived, historically, a real person. And he was killed, was pummeled, and then he hung on the cross, and then he died. Remember Thomas, we talked about the spear, and he wanted to put his finger in the wound, the healed wound, and that person actually died, but that same person actually was raised from the dead. And all of a sudden, and if you give our lives into him, we are forgiven. So instead of death penalty, there's a sign over our little prison cell that says forgiven. But here's the problem with too many of us is that we tend to stop in our journey with Jesus right there. The blood of Jesus was shed. He was killed. It's incredible news. He's raised from the dead, and we're praising the Lord, but too many of us are praising the Lord still in our little prison cell. The door is unlocked, you know, but we're there, and we still kind of maybe settle into our habits that we've created, and we're there, but now we're forgiven. And so we're praising God, but still in our prison door. And we sing songs every Sunday, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And we need to sing songs and say thank you for forgiving me. But we're going to see here in a second that there's more to our journey with Jesus than that. Although that is awesome to say thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. And so, however, I will say that forgiveness is the avenue through which we can escape our little prison. So Jesus isn't just interested in our consequences of the sentence and the penalty of sin, but his death dealt with the problem of sin. So now as we are, this happened to me in my own life, as we're new in our journey with Jesus, you know, he's forgiven me. I mean, literally I was condemned, rightly so. It would be horrific if I ever were to plaster my thoughts and my doings on the screen before Jesus. He probably would never talk to me. And then because of what Jesus did, instead of saying death penalty, you know, condemned for death, it's forgiven, justified. And all of a sudden the door that I built, the lock is broken. And you can almost hear the creaking door open, right? And it's like, it works. It's, what is this? And Jesus is telling us to walk out. Walk out and smell the air of liberty and freedom. Jesus is telling us that the door is unlocked. Sadly, too many, I don't think anybody here, but I know too many people who have given their lives to Jesus, but they're stuck right in this little cell. And Jesus is saying, open the door, get out. Smell smell the freedom that I've given you. And some things happen when you get out of this door. And I shared this message in 2016. I just really felt the Lord just to remind us again. There's a limo waiting outside your prison. Have you ever been in a limo? I was in a Hummer limo once. That was awesome. I know. And it's a Hummer limo that was rented in our story here by none other than God himself. And this man comes out, he's an ambassador, and he says, the king wants to meet you. I mean, literally, I was in prison, created by my own doings, an enemy of God, and because of what Jesus did and accepted into my life, the door is open, and as soon as I open the door, there's this limo waiting for me, and it says, the king wants to meet you. Doesn't make sense. But Jesus paid the price, he paid the penalty, he wants us to walk set free, and now he wants to meet me, if you will, face to face. And I'm thinking, why would Jesus want to meet me? Why would he want to meet you if we already know? And he says, I want you to come. I want you to come. Come out And I want you to, forgiveness is a means for you to live in this life of liberty. And you walk out of the door, and then the limo's waiting for you, and this ambassador is telling you the king wants to meet you. So you're invited to the king's, and I have a little palace from our famous show. I want you to live with me, he says. Like, live with him. I mean, if he knew my life, I would not be going to his home. I would be going to the other side of the tracks of God's kingdom. But he says, no, I want you to live with me. And so God is saying, listen, I know I dealt with the penalty and I've done with the problem that you've built, but I now want you, I'm inviting you, and I'm gonna just call on some names because it helps me connect. David, he's inviting you to live with the king. Eric, he's invited you to live with the king and to live in his presence. And not only that, because one time you were an enemy and now you're not an enemy, you're a friend. You were lost, but now you're found, but you were orphaned. And this king says, not only do I want to set you free and unlock the door, and I want you to walk out in freedom, that you're invited to live in the king's palace, but not only that, I feel like it's like the Price is Right. There's some more coming up. You are now asked to be his child, his son or his daughter. I want to adopt you. Now, I've never been adopted, but I have some friends that have been adopted, and it is the most amazing story that they tell. I just saw a video clip of a young boy selling Starburst at school, and he's lived in the orphanages, and he's been part of the foster care system, and then he didn't have a family. Well, it went on social media, and we checked, and the story's like 2 years old, but within 6 months, there was somebody who was already in the process, and within a year later, he was adopted into the family. It's a crazy story. It's beautiful. But God wants to do that to us. He wants to now call us his children. And even though I don't deserve it, even though I'm thinking, why me? Why is he doing this for me? Why me? And I always know through reading his scripture, Jesus says, I've always loved you. I've always wanted you to be my son or my daughter. And so we just sang a song, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What else can we say but thank you, Jesus? Not only did he set us free from our prison-made cell, he busted open the lock on that door, and then we get to come out, and then somebody's inviting us to be with the king, and not only the king, now we go there, and he finds out he wants to adopt you and me and make us part of his family. That's just amazing. And then he says, I've got a job for you, Mario. I've got a job for you, Mason and Joel and Daniel. I've got a job for you. Not only do I want you to become my son or my daughter, I've got something. And you say, I will do whatever you want me to do. And he says, I want you to go back to the prison that you once were, that prison, and I want you to tell others about me. And I'm wondering, as I'm sharing this story that I shared 9 years ago, where are we stuck in our journey with Jesus? Some of us are stuck right here. You know, we've been set free, we accepted Jesus, but that's really as far as we've gone. You know, we've gotten into the limo, and we've gone into the king's presence, and we say thank you. And then we've accepted the role of child, and we get the benefits of being part of his family. But then he says, I have a job for you. I have something I would like for you to do, Mario. I want you to go back to where you came from. There are other people I love and care for that are still stuck in their prison. And so maybe we respond by saying, Lord, you shed your blood for me. I will gladly live for you. So I belong to you in this relationship with God, and I want to do what you want me to do. Even though, as prophet says, I'm a man of unclean lips. We say, send me. Because Jesus, what he did on the cross, did not only solve the problem of the penalty. It didn't just solve the problem of being stuck in our self-made contained sin prison. He not only did he invite us to be close in his presence, he has called us to be his sons and his daughters, and he's our father, and now he's calling you and me, and he's commissioned us to not only tell of the good news, but he's saying, I want you to be the very image, the very reputation of God as I send you. And Jesus, and we talked about this all the time, is are we living up to what God has designed us to be? And Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, go and make disciples, right? You guys know that passage? Go and make disciples. So that's the challenge for us. Where are we in our journey with Jesus? And Jesus says, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. Go and rescue the powerless and the lost lambs. I think we have a slide that says, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And Jesus says, because I'm that lamb that was slain, I want you to go. And a lot of us get stuck there, right? We love being sons and daughters. We love being set free. We love getting out of we love the relationship. But there's a job where Matthew 28 tells us, God tells us to go and make disciples. And so this whole story is not just dealing with the penalty, the problem. There's an invitation in his talk about living in his presence. We say that here all the time, his presence is our reward. And now we're adopted to live as sons and daughters. And now we are commissioned, but not just commissioned. Here's the most amazing thing, and we sang about it. In a minute, I'm going to ask the band to come on up. I had a friend named Mason Corwin. Anybody might remember Mason Corwin? I would say, hey, Mason, can you go to the union? And I'm telling you, before I even finished my sentence, he was already going out the door to the union. And I was like, wait. You don't know what you're going to do yet. And I just love that about Mace. He was so obedient. I mean, he just, and I'm like, hold on. You don't know what you're going to do. And so maybe many of us have said, yes, I'll do. I'll go do, you know, for me, it was like, I'll go do Chi Alpha. I'll be commissioned to go and seek and save the lost. I'll be that person. And I was this person. I did do that. I also made a mistake. But Jesus says, listen, before you go, hey, hold on, hold your horses. And this is mind-blowing. And this is very humbling. It's very extraordinary. To me, it's amazing. And Jesus says, before you go, I'm going to ask you to do the impossible. What I'm asking you to do on Florida State campus or your job, wherever God's called you, is impossible. You can't do it in your own strength. And Jesus is basically saying, hey, if you're going to try to do it in your own strength, you're not going to succeed. I want you to be victorious, he tells us. I want you to help people be set free. And this is what's amazing. He says, will you give me your body? I want to make yourself my home. And so through the Holy Spirit, he wants to reside in this vessel. He says, I want to take your heart, Ross, and I want to make it not Ross's heart, but I want to make it my heart. Mario, I want to come into your life so you're not seeing people with your eyes, but you're seeing people with my eyes. Eric, he doesn't want to just come in and use your legs. He wants your legs to be his legs. He wants you to have burdens that are his burdens. He wants your mouth to be his mouth. And the only way we can do that is if we allow God to reside in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Because when you're living a life filled with the Holy Spirit, we sing this song, I think we sang it a couple weeks ago. What breaks his heart will now break your heart. What brings him joy will now bring you joy. What grieves his heart will now grieve your heart. It's amazing. So not only were we set free, not only were we smelling the fresh air of freedom that we're no longer bound to our sins, and we get this limo ride to the king's palace, and he's calling us to, hey, live with near me. He's not only doing that, he's saying, I want you to be my child. It's a mind, I mean, my mind gets blown right there. Like, you sure? I don't have the right pedigree, Lord. Yes, I want you to be my child. But then I have a commission for you, Matthew 28. Where are we in our journey with Jesus? If you're stuck somewhere, I'm gonna challenge you to raise your hand in a second. Maybe you know the Great Commission, you just really haven't lived it out. But now he says, go, but don't go on your own. Go filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you go, Mario, and see, well, I went, and what I thought would work was, yeah, I was set free. I was his child. I was forgiven. I was justified, somewhat sanctified. And you know, I didn't know I was going to run into a lot of prison cells. And I thought maybe through eloquent words or fun activities or, you know, just great community that lives would be set free. And it didn't. It took a supernatural act on God's part, on my life, where I was collapsed in his presence. It's a long story. And then I could hear the Lord that says, you've forgotten my powerful Holy Spirit presence. You're acting in your own flesh, and that won't cut it. You need to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens. So that when the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, filled with the Holy Spirit, you're like, I can do this through the power of Christ. We come in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And when you come in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, you don't back down. Then you realize that greater is he that is in us than who is in the world. So I'm encouraging you this morning to surrender to Jesus. If you've never given your life to Jesus, now is the time to do it. Set free. And let me tell you, you can try the best you can, and you're going to fail. And then you're going to have to stand before the Lord and say, what, I tried? So Jesus does not just want us to live a life of an open gate. He wants us to set us free. He wants us to live in freedom. He wants us to be in his presence. He wants to adopt us. He has commissioned us, and now he wants to fill us so that we can fulfill the commission and not try it in our own ways. We don't have to walk our journey in our own strength. We don't have to fail. You know, when you have the Holy Spirit living in you, guess what happens? You start loving enemies. And you start forgiving those who have hurt you. But only if you let Jesus live in you through the Holy Spirit and live that life through you. So I'm going to ask the band to come on up. We're going to sing a song kind of to weld this truth. But while they're doing that, I'm going to ask everybody's eyes closed. It's kind of a tradition. Head bowed, eyes closed means, hey, no peeking, all right? Let's worry about our own self. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life, I feel for you. And if you've never accepted Jesus and you want to do that this morning, just raise your hand and we'll talk to you afterwards. How many would say that you're stuck in this, you've accepted Jesus, but man, you're still kind of stuck in that prison cell? If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Yeah, I see hands. I empathize and sympathize with you. Some of you have experienced this closeness to God, but man, you're really fearful of Matthew 28 and going making disciples. If that's you, just raise your hand. Yes, yeah, we're all. Some of us have, you know, we, like myself, I've accepted the challenge, the commission of Matthew 28, but let's not get too crazy with the Holy Spirit. And I was a little nervous about the Holy Spirit. In my right brain, Western mind, I just couldn't make sense of it. It wasn't until I just submit myself to the truth of God's word and receive the Holy Spirit empowerment. But maybe you're stuck there. Anybody else stuck there? I was stuck there forever. And raise your hand if you've been the Holy Spirit portion of being filled with him. Yes, hands. So Lord, wherever we're at, and that's what I love about our church is that we're all over the place. We're all over the place, and you love us. You love our church. You love the people that are in our church. And you desire for us to live out that life you want for us, that we've been designed for. So Lord, I pray right now that you would begin to soften our stubbornness, if that's what it is, our doubts. Lord, we talked like Thomas last week. Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, to continue to move forward in our journey with you, our pilgrimage with Jesus. But Lord, at the end, Lord, we want to not only, because we love you so much, what you've done for us, to live out the commission, but we want to live out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I say thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. You're doing the work. It's not my words. It's your Holy Spirit that's doing the work. Amen. In Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and stand. And
we want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.